Whether you've only heard of Linux or if you're an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2010, Scale has expanded to 5 speaker tracks. The expo now includes a beginner's track for those new to Linux and a developer's track for the coders out there. Scale will have over 50 speakers who will cover the latest topics in open source, and the expo floor will have over 80 booths with both commercial and nonprofit organizations showing off their products and software. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 19th, 20th, and 21st, 2010 at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at Scale 8X.
Psst, psst, oi, over here. You want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. I picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi, oi, come back. Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OgCamp event, organised by Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
I'm Austin bound, get my feelings checked at the door.
That's right, Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to texaslinuxfest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound, get my eyes set on the price. The time is now.
1, 2, 3.
Texas rules! Texas rules! Texas rules! Texas rules!
Thank you.
Big ol' showtime!
It's a little thing tech show. And that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the show names, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IRC channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
All right, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show episode 340. We're out of the 330s now.
It's about damn time.
Yeah.
No.
The snow apocalypse.
Linux Link Tech Show from the great north. The great white north.
Yep, we had a blizzard today, and we're buried. Power's still up, which is a good thing, because that would
suck.
Gotta
go to work tomorrow?
No, I'm going to work from home, man.
Good.
How much snow you get?
I say between 2 to 3 feet.
Between two storms, right?
Yeah, well, we're out in Lehigh
Valley.
Between
Fridays and today.
We've dodged bullets the last two major snowstorms that, like, you know, nailed, like, D.C., Philly, and, like, New York. And we got by with, like, you know, 6 inches. But this time around, man, we got nailed. So it's winter time, you know. We deal with it.
We had less in this one, but it was
4 feet.
Weird. 4 feet in Downingtown.
Got nothing. No snow. No, a little
Suck
bit of ice.
Man.
I'm living the Dave Yates lifestyle down here.
Thank you.
Yep, you got a dusting,
the
and not all hell breaks
worry
loose.
About is the hole over the outhouse freezing up?
The outhouse keeps things warm, man. Thermal heating.
Yeah,
might have to move in that.
I'm guessing that they're piling all the snow up in D.C. They're piling all the snow up on the National Mall, I'm guessing. I don't know. That'd be some pretty big piles.
Well, they just dump it into the river.
That's where it's going to end up anyhow.
Yeah, really.
Seriously.
But if you let the outhouse pile up, you might get icicles springing out of the top, little brown icicles coming out from the bottom.
All right there, Dan, that's enough.
sit down
that's enough, Dan.
What is it with you and his scat humor, man? Come on.
Dan's on those Japanese scat humor websites.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
So what do we got to talk about this week, guys?
Excuse me.
Plenty of stuff.
Google, I don't know. Did anybody try Google Buzz?
We had some requests for talking about virtualization.
Oh, wait. Virtualization?
Oh, we're really going to talk about that tonight? I know we are, because you got hot stuff to say about it.
Yeah, you like Mr. ESSI.
My stuff is better than your stuff.
Well, you know what?
Is better than your stuff.
Let's talk about some virtualization, because it'll give me an opportunity to check out Google Buzz while you guys are talking about virtualization, and then I can
there you go.
Too. And we can ignore
incentive to use ESXi for your servers.
We're gonna buzz each other while Link talks about virtualization.
Buzz it.
Buzz. Right.
It's Twitter on steroids, but let's talk about
that
later.
Talk
go,
about
Link.
It all by myself.
Well, you got your. You're the one who did the project.
Well, it wasn't really much of a project. I mean, I started out a while back with. I got a couple actual decent servers, and decided that I was going to virtualize my home infrastructure. And what I picked to do that with was VMware Server 2.0. Whatever the hell it is, which I ran on top of a CentOS 5.4 base, 64-bit. And it ran fantastic for, quite a while. And recently started just, randomly shutting down my VMs. And was really pissing me off. And when I talked to Dan about it, because I had convinced Dan to, do the same thing with the servers over there, he said that recently his started doing the same thing. So I came up with, a little script to check on them and make sure they're running, and if they weren't running, to restart the management interface and restart the VMs, which is working fine for a couple of days. But I started looking into ESXi, which is ESX is VMware's their big flagship product. And ESXi is a free version of that runs on, it's a bare metal version, sort of, which is pretty much a really, really, really stripped down Red Hat that the hypervisor runs. And then all the VMs run, side by side or underneath that. And I started checking out ESXi since it was free and figured out that it actually would run on my hardware. The problem with that being that ESX's virtual infrastructure interface or their management interface is actually a program that runs on top of Windows. You have to run it on Windows, which, I don't run Windows at home. But some checking on that revealed that it had you can enable SSH on the actual ESXi box, and there were some commands under there you could use to get your infrastructure rolling without the use of Windows. So I installed it on my machine, my spare machine over here, and converted all my infrastructure virtual machine over from VMware Server 2 to ESXi, or ESX, and turned them on, and they've been working fantastically ever since. And then, you know, dug around a little bit more on the management interface, and so you can do quite a bit with that. So I really don't have to run, you know, Windows at all over here to control my VMs that are running under ESXi. And they are very, very fast. Noticeably faster than they ran under I don't run the asterisk over here. Dan runs that over there. But they're noticeably faster over here than they were on VMware Server. In fact, probably an order of magnitude or more faster. Substantial difference, you know.
Cool.
Plus the fact, you know, since I had them running under ESXi, I haven't had any problems with them crashing or anything like that. I'm not entirely sure why they did it or why they started to do it under BentOS and VMware Server, but my best guess would be something in one of the, you know, slew of recent updates that they've had for CentOS, probably like, I mean, they updated GCC and some other things. And there have been some kernel updates and stuff like that. So that's probably what happened. And that probably will resolve itself for CentOS as more updates occur. But going with ESXi, if you run ESXi, it's all prepackaged from VMware. So there are no, you know, and it's a bare metal install kind of thing. So there really are no updates to twig stuff out to make it so that it won't run. If it runs, you know, for them when they build it up and push it out, it's just going to run, and it's going to run perfectly from there on out. And that really has been the case. And I'm quite happy with it, actually. And I looked at some other, you know, when I was having problems with this, I was looking at some other virtualization pieces of software to convert to. And I settled on ESXi, not only because I'm, you know, familiar with it from using ESX and the ESXi at work, but also because it seemed to me that a lot of the other virtualization techniques and softwares were difficult, you know, to get going. There's a huge learning curve with things like Xen and KVM. Not that I really wouldn't like to, you know, check those out, but there really are a huge learning curve. And after you pick through the documentation for a while, you find out that you have to have certain stuff in your processor, certain flags in your processor, in order to be able to do that. And of course, you know, on my old servers, don't have them. So that was sort of pushed that out of consideration. I also looked at what the heck was it? So I looked at KVM. I looked at Xen.
Xen's a pain to set up, man.
There's a couple
ain't
more
it?
Parallels I looked at, but I looked at that a long time ago. Parallels actually was really cool, but, you know, I don't want to pay for anything. You know what I mean? There's so much for you.
You're a cheap bastard.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to pay for something. You know, if there's an open source and a free open source solution, then I want to try and employ that. So I really didn't go back to Parallels, even though I checked it out before and it really worked well.
You don't like VirtualBox, Link?
I suppose I could have tried. Yeah, I
use VirtualBox all the time.
Yeah, me too.
And I had not tried VirtualBox for a long time. Last time I tried it was like VirtualBox 1 point something or other. And that's where it had all these problems with you had to have a NAT interface because the bridged networking didn't work well, and you had to do things to get it going. And it seems to be a lot better now. However, I still wouldn't call it enterprise ready.
No, VirtualBox
is still a little quirky with the networking.
It's great if you just need to run like a couple of VMs just locally.
Right.
It's perfect.
Right.
Out of the box, it's simple. Yeah. It runs pretty well. But if you're into like enterprise stuff, VMware is the way to go.
Hold on a second. Pat.
What?
Are you making a backup copy?
Of course.
Uh-oh.
Right. Dan just killed her.
No. My laptop.
More sound engineering fail from Dan.
No, my laptop just shut off, and I don't know why.
What else is new? VirtualBox is really cool, though. I use it all the time, just like Pat does. But probably the one thing, and that's the one thing that almost nobody's talked about, is that, you know, a lot of talk has happened with MySQL, but nobody has talked about what Oracle's going to do with VirtualBox.
Right, because VirtualBox is the Sun.
It's now an Oracle product. In fact, it's relabeled Oracle. If you go to the VirtualBox website, the logo has Oracle logos on it instead of Sun.
Was GPL2? The free version, wasn't that GPL2?
Yeah, well, parts of it, parts of VirtualBox is. But if you download the full version, that'll let you do snapshots and whatnot. That isn't technically open source, although you can get it for free.
I usually download it not from the repos. I don't install from the repos because the version that you used to get from Sun was usually a little better than the one you would see in the
repos.
Yeah,
you don't use OSC. You don't use the OSC version. And neither do I. I use the other one because I want the snapshotting like VMware Workstation has. I use snapshotting all the time just to avoid messing up my VMs. It's wonderful for that.
Well, I thought VirtualBox has come a long way, and I like it. I like the ones mostly, but I still don't think it's up to par with VMware. And I know there are a lot of people that disagree with me that says it's enterprise ready and stuff like this, but here's the clincher why it didn't migrate from VMware Server to VirtualBox. Even though VirtualBox is this really cool new a command line thing that I didn't even know about until recently. You can run it like on a headless server and stuff. It's pretty cool. But the reason I didn't switch over was because if you go looking around for the directions on how to get VirtualBox installed on your operating system now. Well, with all the new kernels, they want you to patch it just to get the damn thing installed. You know, you have to do
You have to build a module.
To get VirtualBox installed. Yeah. No, you have to patch the modules and then rebuild it in order to get it installed.
I don't have to patch the module.
I don't have to do anything either, man. I'm running Karmic it's a snap.
I don't know. Well, that's what the direction said that I was looking at.
I just install it, and then I run etcinitd vbox. Trying to remember. Whenever you do the kernel change, you have to run command to rebuild the module. But that's it. It's just a kernel module.
Same thing with VMware, yeah.
Yeah, when you go up kernel.
Right. I mean,
but you know, I looked at that and I thought I'm gonna go from VMware server to the same thing under VirtualBox, and I'm going to have to dick with stuff all the time. So I said, you know, on an ESXi would work on my hardware. I figured that's the way to go. I couldn't be happier, really. If you have hardware
what they need
ESXi
to do
will run on,
right.
Really should try it.
What they really need to do, they need to go with take Xen and like package it up like in a distro. So basically all you gotta do it's difficult to set up. It's a pain in the ass to set up and I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, but
as cool as it is.
Nobody's using it anymore. Everybody's going to KVM. KVM is becoming the new popular, you know, hypervisor in the kernel thing.
Well,
spurned on a lot by Red Hat, by the way, but
mm-hmm.
But you know what? Either way, Xen or KVM, they look like they're a pain in the ass to get going.
Right. Yeah.
ESXi was so easy. I mean, it was so. You drop the CD in, it's only like a 300 meg ISO, right? You drop the CDN, right. You turn the server on, it does the install. You have to press enter a couple times. Does the install, lickety-split, you reboot, you set the IP address, and you're cooking. You know what I mean? It was pretty much that easy. And it's wickedly fast.
Huh. Well, you know, like you said, Zen and KVM are a pain in the butt to set up, you know, but I think I have to go back and look. I know IBM has a hypervisor that we run on our the HMC. They call it the power hypervisor for the AIX and the big iron stuff that I use at work. And I swear, I thought I read somewhere that it's based on Zen. But it's a little bit different because the hypervisor probably runs at a much lower level than it would run on the Intel hardware, like a firmware of some sort. And the HMC just talks to the hypervisor that's running on the service processors. So,
right.
But those machines are beasts. We work on them every day. They have SharePool processors.
That's big iron, you know.
Oh well, you see, a lot of people call it big iron. It really, I mean, it kind of is, but I don't really think it's at all like big iron because it's more like PC hardware than it was like any of the old mainframe hardware that we used to have.
Right, years and years and years ago. But that's why they call it big iron because it's still it's the same stuff. It's just shrunk with the time and technology.
Well, but right, but it does have regular PCI. It's, you know, granted, I wouldn't dream of putting anything but approved devices into that.
Uh huh.
Because you know IBM does all the actual physical hardware support, you know. Although to be honest, I think IBM's come in maybe 5 times in the last 3 years. That's how good this stuff is. I wish I could afford to have one in my home for to run my home infrastructure. Just a small one, you know, a little 520. That'd be awesome. That's about $10,000 worth of server, though.
If you buy it from IBM, yeah.
Well, if you buy it from IBM, if you buy it from eBay, you can probably get, like, you wouldn't be able to get, like, a Power 5 or a Power 6. Or, for that matter, the new Power 7, which have 8 cores per piece of silicon. So, that's awesome. The same size machine I can have as much as much processing power as a lot of the bigger machines back in the day. I mean, it's just incredible what IBM's doing. Plus, the Power 7 chips, they're starting at around 4 or 5 gigahertz. There's nothing faster. And my boss keeps wanting to switch to Intel. I know why. Intel's far cheaper, but
yeah, oh yeah,
far cheaper. But to me, it's not as reliable.
You can get the same amount of processing power out of Intel for a quarter of the price. That's why.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's quicker to release if you have a commodity hardware failure versus something breaking on your.
I don't know. I get a response from IBM in 3 hours. Somebody's on site within 3 hours, and it's usually sooner than that.
I can get the same.
They're that good.
I can get the same response on from Dell the same way, but still, the fact is that you can keep spare parts laying around. You know what I mean?
That's true.
For generic Intel stuff, and
that's true. It's kind of expensive to keep an extra.
For IBM Power Series stuff is expensive.
Well. Actually, what most power clients will do is what they'll equip the box with more than they need. Like, if you need 2 fiber channels and 2 Ethernets, you're going to get 4. If you need 4 processors, you're going to get 8. and only four of them might be turned on. You know what I mean? IBM has this thing they call COD, or capacity on demand, and basically the admins can turn them on anytime they want. However, at that point, they start the CPU charge, and it ain't cheap. So, as my boss's boss learned the first time he messed up. But let me preface that. He told us to turn them on, but he never told us to turn them off. And then I was in there the other day, and I found out, and I said, hey, did you really want these on still? And he's like, they're still on? Why didn't you guys turn them off? Well, you didn't tell us. So, I hate capacity on demand. It's a good feature to have, but I literally want, like, the blood of the VP on a piece of paper before I'll turn them on again. Because I'm like, you know, plus the fact now that we went and implemented a share pool processing on our newest box. Basically, you don't assign a hardcore CPU level. You just say, or like a dedicated CPU level, you just say, okay, I want you to take no more than three processors. Mm-hmm. And you have this priority over all the other partitions that are running. And then that goes there. But, you know, that's not really a virtualization. Well, it kind of is virtualization, but it's a little bit different than VMware. Or any other virtualization there is, really. Because almost everything is backed by some sort of real hardware.
So
it's getting more, like you do a micro partitioning. I can say I can give a partition 1/10 of a CPU if I want to. But go ahead, Pat.
Dan, what was the issue you were having with the virtual machines? The Asus virtual machine was shutting off, wasn't it?
Initially, I suspect the image problem that I was having the first time around is the hard drive that was in there has some bad sectors on it and was starting to fail, particularly on the asterisk image. So I had to replace, because the asterisk image would shut down on a fairly regular basis, and I'd have disk errors listed for it. So whenever it would lose the ability to read from the disk, the virtual VMware server shut the virtual machine down. So I replaced it.
Dan, turn your mic up a little.
I replaced the hard drive.
You there, or talk into it.
Shut your hole, Joe. I'll come over there and knock your ass in the dirt. So when I replaced the hard drive and moved over the images and stuff, all that rectified itself. Now, the issue that I was having a few weeks ago, which I still have not figured out what the problem is, was that kind of like Link, it would just mysteriously shut down all the machine, virtual machines running, and I don't know.
Weird.
It was weird. So that's the way it goes.
Yes, sweet. I, man. I know it'll run on that server.
That's free?
Yep.
Free as in beer, that is.
Hey, the only problem is having to I gotta find another hard drive to do all that on.
Why?
Because I don't want to wipe out a working system to get another system going in case something screws up.
Yeah.
And I only have
one of
those servers.
You have two servers, though.
Yeah, but the other server is not the same architecture. It's not the same.
Right. But listen, if on the other server, all you have to do is get VMware Server 2 running on the other server. and then move your VMs over to that server so that they're running, and then you can do whatever you want on the app. So you're never down, you know what I mean?
I could, but that other server right now is acting as my main workstation.
Okay, so run VMware server on your main workstation.
I will consider it.
You know what cool. I mean? Like, that would sustain you for as long as it took for you to dick around with changing your other server over. You could just run VMware server on a different box and drop your VMs on there and let them grow.
Anyway, good stuff there, Link. Read your post and I was impressed with that too.
Make so sure there's some eating anyway.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff out of Google over the last couple days. I'll start with the one that came today. Google is going to start being an ISP, essentially. Google Fiber for Communities. I'll paste the link in IRC. By the way, Link or Dan, why don't you guys fill this out for the tech show? That would be, like, really cool.
What you talking about now, Willis?
Well, look at the link, man. Google Fiber for Communities. Google is planning to launch an experiment that we hope will make internet access better and faster for everyone. We plan to test ultra-high-speed broadband networks in one or more trial locations across the country. Our networks will deliver internet speeds of more than 100 times faster than what most Americans have access to today. Over 1 gigabit per second fiber-to-the-home connections. They'll offer service at a competitive price to at least 50,000 and potentially up to 500,000 people. From now until March 26, we're asking interested municipalities to provide us with information about their communities through a request for information, which will use to determine where to build our network. So there's like a local government response. There's also a link on there if you drill in for residents and community groups. We're a community, right?
Absolutely.
So we qualify. So somebody fill it out.
That would be insane.
Oh no kidding, man. So.
You know what?
Now you know why Google had all that dark fiber.
And the reason is because this may finally get the ISPs in the United States to get off their ass and give us
get
the
shit in order.
Yeah, and give us
we
the
deserve.
Bandwidth that everybody else in the world is getting.
Right.
That would be cool.
Because like the United States is the only third world country in the world as far as bandwidth goes. You know what I mean? You go over to Vietnam and Taiwan.
I blame the damn lawyers, man.
And they get
friggin' lawyers.
They get 1 gigabit bandwidth to their fucking shack out in the middle of a field somewhere. And I'm in the middle of a metropolitan area, can hardly get 10 meg down. You know.
Yep, South Korea puts us to shame, man.
Crazy.
Yep.
And then you want to charge $700 a month for. And it's unlimited bandwidth, too, as long as you don't go over 1 meg, you know?
Yeah,
or 250 gig. 5 gig if you've got a wireless card. Yeah, it's just
glad
stupid.
Doing it. I hope it gets people off their ass. That's awesome.
So, does this mean that Google is not evil this week? I think Google is not evil this week.
I don't ever think Google is evil. I think Google is doing great stuff for the community.
Yep. We'll see. I hope it works. But so, like I said, we're a community. Fill it out so that we can get connected. At least to Dan's house. Get Dan that connection so that we have plenty of bandwidth. You know what I mean, Dan? That would be awesome.
We've got plenty of bandwidth to begin with. I mean, I wonder if they're going to give you the capability of, like, static IPs and everything.
Lord only knows. But anyway, but that sounds like a cool thing. But probably the one that's more among, gosh, it's just been everywhere, is Google Buzz, which is basically their. Let me see what you guys think. But to me, it's like Twitter on steroids, because it has geographical things in it. Some things with it, like, for example, you can bring in your streams from Flickr or Picasa or Twitter, or I don't know if Facebook's in there or not. I don't think it is. But I know that whenever I send a tweet, there'll be a buzz thread generated. But it all works through, Claudia says, G Twitter. But
I call it Google Book. It's like Google.
Yeah, it all works Book. Through. Yeah, well, it all works through the Gmail interface. It adds another menu item called Buzz, and then when somebody actually sends a buzz to you or comments on one of the buzzes that you sent out, you get an email in your inbox, and then right from the inbox, you can actually just update. You know, basically, you can comment back. But it's got, like I said, it's got a lot of Twitter stuff on it, but it's just, to me, like, for example, with Twitter, you may have to actually hunt for the response, unless you're using something like Gwibber or something like that. If you're actually going to the website, you may have to scroll through a few pages. But with this Google Buzz, everything's just right there in Gmail. I kind of like it. I think it's slick. It has some things like from Wave and some things from their Latitude service. But it's really kind of interesting. I think it is anyway.
It's got a better chance of taking off than Google Wave. I think Google Wave.
Amen to that.
Everyone's looking around saying, "What the hell are we going to do with this thing?" Where, you know, with Google Buzz, yeah, it's a little more obvious.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I like it. I like it a lot. I really think it's a good idea. On the Android, I think they really need a separate Wave app, maybe, or at least integrated into the Gmail on there too. But basically, it all works through the Maps program, the Maps 4.0. And it's essentially can be like another layer. And like, for example, I'm on my phone now. I can actually look and see where all the last buzzes were. In fact, even last night, I surprised the heck out of me. I saw somebody on a buzz less than a mile from my house.
Did you go talk to him?
That's kind of
face to face.
No, but I did send him a buzz.
And what did they say? Shut up.
No, I asked him which phone he had. He told me he had a Droid. But and it surprised me just how fast it kind of it's just growing. Like if I zoom out and get the whole of the Columbus area, I just see little bubbles everywhere on Columbus. It's amazing how fast it's spreading. So, but it's definitely an interesting product. I kind of think it's probably one of the better ideas they've had lately. Definitely better than Wave.
Yeah.
Better than Wave.
When you first saw Wave, it was like, you know, it looked really interesting. It looked something different. But when you actually get down to using it, it's like, you know, what the hell? What's the point, you know?
Yep.
You know, but at least with Buzz, it's like, yeah, this is cool. It's like Twitter, but it's got, you know, better features, more integration. You know, there's different things that you could do with it that are a little different and bring it up another level. You know.
Yep.
So
some people aren't liking it, but I kind of dig it. I think it's pretty cool.
What's your Buzz? What's your Buzz name?
Just Skorkin at gmail.com.
Well, I don't
search
know.
For me. Buzzing about Buzz now.
They've not rolled it out for Google apps for domains users. That's what I use. That's why I've not even I've not seen it yet. I read about it.
No, that's true. They haven't done that yet. Friend of mine, Wayne, who used to be one of the editors on Gear Diary, he basically said the same thing, too. Plus, they also initially said on their initial announcement, they said it wasn't going to be on Android 1.6, but actually I've got it on my phone, which is, CyanogenMod, but it's modified 1.6, essentially. So, and it works pretty well on there.
So. I can't find you. I put in GorkCon, and it says no show results found for GorkCon.
Okay. What's your Gmail?
It's under my name, Dan. You can just put in Dan Washko. You should be able to find me.
No. I did that.
Daniel Washko.
Weird.
Who's this other Daniel Washko there with a stegosaurus? As a Daniel Washko.
There you are, Daniel S. Washko.
Yeah. How come I can't find you as I need to put you in as Joel McLaughlin, I think.
I see Dan following me. I see Peter 64 in there too already.
Already? There he is. I see Dan. It's TLLTS 340 right now, suckas.
Yeah. Peter 64 is there? Where do you see Peter 64?
Oh, it says I'm automatically following him.
How come you're automatically
following him? Yeah, it goes through your contacts.
Yeah, it goes through your contacts.
And if you have a Gmail account in your contacts, it automatically pulls them in.
I just need to find...
Like it says, mine says I'm following 53 people. I was already following, 36, I think, when I first got it earlier today. And they kind of phased it out, too. Not everyone got it all at the same time. I got it. I think I was one of the first in the Gear Diary team to get it. And then we've been buzzing back and forth. I've been... Dude, it's addicting to me. I've been on Buzz a good part of the day, especially since I've been home, since Luke didn't have school today because of the snowpocalypse in Columbus, which wasn't as much as what you guys got, but they still closed school, and so I just took the day off so that my wife could just work. And she works at home, but it's just a pain in the butt with a kid running around. You can't really concentrate and work when the kid's here.
Well, I'm just hoping that I'll be able to get triple the amount of information from Twitter, Identica, and Buzz now about what Dan and Fab are eating.
Having some tea.
There you go.
I actually posted that today on Identica. Had some tea.
I don't see Fab listed here.
Didn't Fab just switch to just using Identica, I thought? I don't remember.
I don't see Fab in the Buzz.
But you can connect you can connect Flickr, Google Chat, Picasa, Twitter, Google Reader, and YouTube into your Google Buzz account. Basically, what that means is when you post, like say you post a picture and up on Google's Picasa website, it automatically generates a Buzz contact, Buzz in Google Buzz. So that way people can comment on it and whatnot. And same thing with the YouTube video.
It's easy to share that video of Joel dancing around in his underwear on YouTube.
I didn't hear what you said, Pat. For some reason it dropped down on my end.
Maybe it's a good thing that you didn't hear what I said.
It's probably true. But my thing with Flickr is I'm getting close to that 200 image cutoff, and once you go above 200 images, you have to start paying, or basically only the last 200 pictures that you put up to Flickr will show up.
How does the price of the Flickr paid account compare to what's the other big one? What is it, Shutterbug?
Shutterfly?
Shutterfly. There's a couple of them, right? That are like that?
It's a... last I checked, I thought it was only like $25 a year. should, and it's unlimited upload.
Alan isn't on the show because he would know that he pays for Flickr, I'm pretty sure.
Alan's got money to burn, man.
He ain't got no kids, so.
Yep, no kids, man. That's why.
Well, my money
kids
goes.
Eat it. Eat. They eat. Let me look. I'll look at it now. It's a $24.95 per 1 year for a pro account. I'm gonna have to just do it one of these days.
Yeah,
I like Flickr.
Pay for it. Call that. What's her name? What's her name on Gear Diary?
Judy.
Call
Judy. Nah, I don't need her.
Judy, I need you to pay for Flickr for me. And she'll say, "Oh, anything for you, Joshy Poo." I mean, Jolie Poo. Anything for you, Jolie Poo.
Who the hell's Joshy?
Josh is a guy I used.
Yeah, really.
Dan's former man crush.
She wouldn't do it.
Yeah. He's gone now.
Anyway, but yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm digging it. I've been using it all day.
What, the
off
buzz?
And on. Yeah. So Flickr I like too, but lately I've been having troubles uploading pictures to Flickr. So I've just been uploading them to Facebook instead. Facebook is free and unlimited. So, but
yeah,
I kind of like Flickr better
pictures
for some
from my DSi right up to Facebook. That's the only time.
Facebook, yeah, that's cool, ain't it?
Yeah,
playing around with the Yeah, I got one up on my Facebook with me wearing a Mario hat.
Yeah, the DSi.
I just wish
I
just wish the cameras were better than a DSi. That really would make it worth it.
They're better than nothing. Hey, Dave Yates.
Yes, sir.
Did anybody ever post that information? No, they didn't.
What information?
You had who's coming on? Leslie and who?
Carol. Oh, I know what information you're talking about. Yeah, they're Google Summer Code people.
Yeah. All right.
No, I didn't post it.
Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
Well, thank you.
And that's going to be 2010 at
8:30. That's next week. Google Summer of Code.
Next.
Oh, is it?
Next week's Frostbite.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about it. Frostbite, that's going to be cool.
I enjoyed the last week's episode, guys. I listened to that, and I especially enjoyed the F-bomb that the guest dropped.
No,
that
very
funny.
Nicely done.
I tell you what, that was one of the most interesting shows that we've done in a long time. We've got a lot of good comments from that show already. So, plus,
she was,
I downloaded the VM. Yes, she was. Yes, she was. She got along real well. Tara Spaulding.
Oh, yeah. She's going to come
week.
On again.
Yeah, she should, man. That was awesome.
Ground speak?
Groundwork.
Groundworks. Groundspeak is geocaching site. Groundworks and Monitor Forge.
How you bring that geocaching up? Are you still working with OpenStreetMap and doing that kind of stuff there, Dan?
I haven't done it in a little while because I've mapped like mostly everything around this area. But yeah, I do contribute. I have contributed in the past.
Is that ballpark where you had to use the plastic bag? Is that been geocached?
No.
That was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
the brown paper bag in the dugout.
Yeah.
That was in Pennsylvania. It's probably already on the map anyway.
Should I mark it there where I put the bag? I wonder how long that would stay there. This is where I pooped in the bag.
Yeah, Washco pooted.
it.
I'm going to go look and see if I can find that.
I pooed here.
Oh, they're going to love me.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Are you well?
Yeah.
And then he can mark the location where he first saw the hoagie guy. Hoagie guy works out here. It shaves his tallywhacker.
All right, I gotta get into Bethlehem, PA.
He's gonna mark it off.
Graybeard wants to know, what device do you use for OpenStreetMap? I think you use a Garmin, don't you?
Yeah, it's a Garmin. I don't know the exact model because I'm too lazy to get up and go find it. And, it's on the bookshelf out in the hallway.
I want to get one of those.
It's really good. I like it.
I actually do like the one you've got, but I want to get like the... their higher-end ones have some really interesting features. Like, there's one that actually has a 3-megapixel camera built into it now. So.
Would you even need... I mean, doesn't your droid have GPS?
Yes, it
does.
Yeah,
the droid does it, yeah. Yeah. It geolocates, yeah, automatically. I don't have to do nothing.
Can't you do tracking with that?
Probably yep. Could.
And upload them?
Yeah, there's a... there is a program out there for it. But the bad thing is you can't... you don't want it... Whatever program you use, even if you use, like, your Garmin, and you're doing OpenStreetMap tracks, you don't want it to lock to the street you're on. Because then you're essentially copying whatever map source you had, like Telenav or whoever did the maps for your device. So you need to make sure that it gives the real track and not the one that's locked to the road. So. Ravier says, is the stream cutting in and out, or is that just me? I don't know. I don't have the stream up anywhere. Graybeard, that Garmin Dan has can show the OpenStreetMap data too, right? That's how you put your maps on it to come up here to OLF, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Just put OpenStreetMaps.
He's gonna he's gonna mark wherever he pulled over on the side of the road to do his business. On the ride over by himself.
And mark on the jury, Dan polluted the elevator here.
He was hurting after he stopped at the Circle K over there. Got the nachos with cheese and didn't agree with them.
Jalapenos.
Circle K. All right. Let's
Something see. Strange is afoot at the Circle K. Bill and Ted's. Whoa.
Oh, this is... Okay. Here we go. All right, I found it. Here it is.
I can't see it, Dan. Sorry.
Hold on.
Well, while you're dicking around, Dan, I'm going to make a little announcement. Our buddy Murph, you guys know Murph, right? He's been to OLF and...
Yep.
I don't know did he go to South? I know he went to Ontario Linux Fest, so. But he's also involved with the New Jersey LUG. And he just asked us to pass over this little message that the New Jersey LUG is going to do a screening of Revolution OS on Wednesday, March 31st at the Duress Theater in Booton, New Jersey. And
Sweet.
Yeah, so you can go to njlinux.org/movie for more information.
I wonder if we could do that here in Columbus. There's a theater called the Drexel, which is like the artsy-fartsy theater, like where they show like art films like, I just saw the last Wachowski brothers, not Wachowski, I'm sorry, of Coen brothers movie. They're A Serious Man. I wonder if he could do that there.
You can show anything in a movie theater as long as you pay the money.
Right.
Yeah, is the New Jersey Lug having to pay anything to play Revolution OS?
Yep.
Over, or are they having to pay?
Over in Booton, yep. Nothing's free, man.
Nothing's free.
But they don't have to pay a license? Oh, they do have to pay. I thought you said... I got it now.
That's another good question, because I thought Revolution OS wasn't like a Creative Commons.
No, it's not. We had to eye on. We interviewed him.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. You can watch instant streaming.
I'm sure he gets paid from that. when we talked to him, he was bitching about the Google videos at the time.
Yeah.
Well, and HP said it. They gave a copy of it out. That's how I got a copy.
I bought it.
They gave a copy at OLF.
Oh, somebody gave you a copy. HP did?
Yep. Yeah, they did. I think it was HP's booth at OLF 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's a better movie than the MacHeads one, definitely. It's a longer movie. It's shot on film. It's a better quality movie, I think.
Actually, the first place I saw that was in class.
What, Revolution OS?
Yes, I took an operating systems class because I can, and it's free for me at Columbus State. And the teacher, when she did a unit on Linux, she actually showed a clip out of the movie.
There's another documentary about Linux, too. I think it was a Finnish production. I forget the name of it. I watched it on YouTube a while back.
But yeah, she showed a clip of RMS talking about some of the stuff he talks about in the movie. I forget which scene it was.
Yeah, RMS actually comes off pretty normal in that movie.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But then there's the YouTube clip of him peeling skin off of his feet in the
air. Oh, that is nasty. Yeah,
you saw that, did you?
Yes.
Oh. I saw that clip, but I'm like, ew. He ate his foot skin. It's like Dan and his Fred Flintstone feet.
Nasty. Screwdriver toenails. All discolored. And dirt underneath.
Caramel apple toes. My question is, does Dan run barefoot in the snow?
He did. He tried it, I think.
No, he didn't. Not in the snow. It's too cold.
But he uses sriraches.
Oh, this is terrible. I shouldn't do this. This is awful. I can't do this. I don't have any way. I'm trying to figure out what to label this as. And I don't have very many choices. Like, I could put it as...
Historical marker.
Well, there's a place of worship, a museum.
A place of worship.
It's definitely other.
There is no other, though.
Site is place of interest.
Historical marker.
Is there, like, a historical place?
Okay, I'll try this.
I want to see if it actually makes it into the map.
Dan did get into the Urban Dictionary, so don't be surprised if he gets
in there. Did he?
He's got a bunch of them in there.
Yeah.
Like what, like Hoagie Guy?
Yep. Hoagie Guy's in there, yeah. God, this is terrible. I can't believe I'm actually doing this. This is what it was not...
I can.
not made to do this.
And you're doing it.
Dave Yates, don't say anything. What do I do now?
Oh my gosh. Here you are, man, in Urban Dictionary. Holy crap. I've never seen that one yet.
Of course I'm
buy Hoagie Guy mugs, t-shirts, and magnets.
You can?
There's a link right on Urban Dictionary. Oh, you can get the definition printed on a mug. Too cool.
Who gets the money from that?
Urban Dictionary, idea. Probably.
Well, what do I do here now?
Put it on a t-shirt. The definition on a t-shirt from Urban Dictionary. Actually, I like the black one. It says just says Hoagie Guy. Or the button.
Oh, baby.
With trucker hats. Oh, jeez. That's better than a Lemon Party t-shirt.
Hoagie Guy stickers. Hoagie Guy travel mugs. Hoagie Guy trucker hats.
What's funny is it looks like somebody actually put some thought into it, and it actually does kind of fit the definition on some of them. The fonts on some of them. Like the button font. Yeah, it looks like something like you'd see on a hoagie. Hoagie Guy.
Ay, ay, ay. Why is this? This is not appropriate. Not at all.
Appropriate for what?
I don't know. All right, here we go.
You can tell Urban Dictionary is definitely not as picky as Wikipedia.
No, not at all.
Alright, here we go. Let's see if anybody can find this.
Especially since Snowpocalypse is in the Urban Dictionary right now.
Is it really? How long has it been in there?
It's on the front page. February 9th. And as is Redneck Teleprompter for Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin glanced at her redneck teleprompter during her interview at a Tea Party conference in Nashville.
They got to goof on her. They might as well goof on Obama for needing a fucking prompter in front of a bunch of school kids. How lame is that?
You're kidding me.
He's like in front of a bunch of sixth graders and he's got like these teleprompters in front of him. You know, those sixth graders, they're really smart, man. Watch out.
Yeah, really. I don't really think it's that bad. I mean, heck, at least she took notes, you know.
I use a teleprompter in my car.
That's impressive.
It's called a pad of paper, huh? Or
yeah, index
or
card.
The second version of the redneck teleprompter. Anyway.
All right. Where is
he got it in there?
I'm just trying to find the save button here.
Link is snoring in our buzz. You got something to talk about, Link?
No, I'm just trying to figure this buzz junk out. You know, I even went and hooked it up to my Twitter and then posted something on my Twitter, and it's not showing up buzz, so...
Really?
Apparently it's broken like every other...
Google thing?
Every other one of these applications.
Maybe it's Twitter that's broke.
Social media sites. Yeah, I did. I put something on Twitter. And it's not showing up.
Bomber.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Zoom phone. Microsoft's iPhone killer. Coming Monday.
How original.
Right.
Oh, well, let's do with this crap again. Oh,
shoot. I know what we can talk about. We can talk about the new Gwibber.
That's pretty nice, man.
I like it. It really is the bomb. It's much improved.
Oh, yeah.
They got rid of that home screen.
Yeah, that thing was ugly, man. The version that came out with in Karmic was pretty poor, man. It was pretty sucky. And this new version that the new version they got in the daily builds is pretty freaking nice, man. I have to say they've really done a really nice job on it, and it's moving along in the right direction, I think.
If you don't, the one thing that is interesting is that just like it was before, if you just type in something in the box and press enter, it's going to send it to all the services. But if you just only want to send it to Twitter or Facebook, just click on the icon.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, and the colors are nice too. It tells you where the posts are coming from.
Yep. And there's a logo now too on each different message. Like for example, if it came from Twitter, it's got the Twitter T on it. If it came from Identica, it's got the little Identica bubble. Like you see, Alan can't be on the show, but he can send a dent saying he played around with his flip video camera in the snow today.
Does that make you angry?
No, it doesn't make me
angry. Don't make him angry. You won't like him when he's angry.
That's the line my wife needs to use. Sometimes.
Alright.
What, your wife married Lou Ferrigno?
No, my wife is Lou Ferrigno.
You said it, pal.
Oh, wait, that was bad. That was bad. No, more like she's the Hulk. Sometimes. Like, what? You didn't pick up this stuff? Rawr! So, I guess there is not going to be a 40th birthday Tiki Bar run for Link, huh?
No, there's
maybe in a month.
There should be.
Did you get anything cool for your birthday, or just no?
I went out and a lot of money going to dinner. That's about it. And we got snow.
Lots of snow. So much snow, you're ready to pack it up and go to Florida.
Florida
is a very unlinked kind of a place.
Florida's nice in like February, man, and like now, but like in the middle of August, Florida's not a fun place to be, let me tell you.
No, it's not. I've been there.
Yeah, me too. Orlando, in fact. Middle of August would...
Lizards, April.
You ever seen them, the leaping lizards down there? Little lizards that jump off of everything when you walk next to them? Mosquitoes that are bigger than your fucking fist?
Don't forget the flying cockroaches.
Cockroaches as big as your finger.
They call them palmetto bugs. They're flying cockroaches.
Yeah, palmetto bug, my ass. Cockroach, yeah. Huge, giant cockroaches. And
I saw a parrot flying. When I was there at Miami University getting some training, I actually saw a parrot flying from one telephone pole to another. Story goes on that was one of the, when Andrew hit, that parrot was released from one of the zoos or something down there because, well, it blew all the fences and stuff down. So they just live in the wild now down there. So.
And then you have
this was no little parrot, Claudio. This is a big parrot.
And then you got these enormous pythons.
Huge parrot.
Crawling around. Some idiot had one as a pet and it got too big, so he just dumped it off on the side of the road.
That's pretty common, actually, down there. I think there was a show on Discovery or something where...
Monster
maybe
Quest.
Was it Dirty Jobs?
Monster Quest?
No.
Dan's all about
there
the
was
Monster
a show
Quest.
Where they went... Oh, no, I know what it was. Chickens. Dirty Jobs had they went to like Miami, and he was on the chicken pound, you know, like equivalent to the dog pound, you know, where they have to capture chickens. I'm not kidding. They had to watch him run around trying to catch this chicken, who didn't want to be caught.
Chicken farm.
Very cool.
Nope, it wasn't a farm.
Box up. On freelinuxbox.org. Very cool. Thank you, Murph.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and the rest of you should do that, too.
Murph. I don't have a box to put on there. Everything I got is either shit or I'm using it. I don't want to put a crappy box on there.
Excuses. Your trash might be someone else's treasure. You know?
Nah. This stuff is trash. If I won't use it, it's trash. Because I'll use stuff to death.
Hey, Dave, you got anything to contribute, Dave?
Trash and what?
You got anything to say? You've been kind of quiet.
I thought you said trivia.
Contribute.
Oh.
Contribute.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Came out with a new episode, man. That was shocking. I was shocked when I saw that.
Yeah, I'll have another one out this Friday and probably another one out next week.
Wow. Wow. He's getting regular.
Again.
In more ways than one.
That brain has been eating.
That's right.
No, I just been I got my big screen TV. I talked the wife into that. I got that.
What'd you get, Dave?
Happy with it. I got a Sony 52-inch XBR9.
Nice.
Mm.
Very happy with it.
I picked up a 40-inch Samsung. I'm loving it.
And about 2 weeks after that, well, actually today, I found out I got to replace the heat pump in my house.
Oh, that sucks.
$4,000, yeah.
Oh.
Ow.
Got to have heat, too.
Yep. If you want to call what a heat pump gives you heat. I'd never do a heat pump here in Ohio. It'd be too cold.
Well, we don't have natural gas on the streets. Electric's my only choice, really. Yep.
Wow.
I live in the boonies.
You can do baseboard heat.
Who does? You do?
No, I said you could do baseboard heat.
That's what I got in the man cave, baseboard heat. It works okay. It's toasty down here.
I'm using that expensive heat right now. I've got the actual compressor cut off, and I'm using, I guess, the electric strips and the under the crawl space portion. I forgot what all this stuff's called, but I know it's going to be expensive. Emergency heat, I guess, what it's called.
Link just uses his service to heat his place.
That's right.
I heat upstairs with that.
All you need to
do. I remember.
If you get a vax,
I remember that one. Yeah, I heard just remember that one picture of your old, like maybe like two places ago, with you, and you had that. Well, I don't know when you built that massive desk that you used to have. And you have the server rack sitting next to it. That was incredible. He had so many old Dells and whatnot.
I just put it on the IRC.
Probably it.
We found out today that the people that did the video for the Southeast Linux Fest last year, we asked them if they'd do it again this year. Last year, they did it for really just the cost of batteries and tapes. And they more or less said they lost so much money doing that, there's no way they could do it again. And they broke
oh,
out
Lord.
What it cost them, and it was like $31,000.
What?
Well, that was
you gotta
far,
be kidding.
I think that's what they said. I'll have to go back and look. But needless to say, we're going to have to find another solution this year.
Go buy some flip cameras.
We may end up having to do that. I think right now we're...
It will be...
Seriously, you know what you need, Dave? You need to allow for some volunteers to bring their video
yes.
cameras and some Neuros OSDs. And you need a couple couple 1 terabyte USB drives or something, and that's it. That's all you need. That would do it.
Yeah, I don't think the I don't think we'll have the quality we had last year, but we are going to have to look at the volunteer route. $31,200 is what they said the whole project cost them.
That's crazy.
I don't believe that.
That was three videographers at $1,400 a day, 38 hours editing at 250
wow.
hours, and then it didn't even count all the audio work. Now, I take that back. That's $13,700. What we were asking them to do this year, because we got five speaker tracks, would cost $31,000. That's what they quoted us.
And here's what you do, man. Go buy netbooks like OLF did, and of course we still ain't heard the frickin' audio from OLF yet.
Oh, yeah.
But do that and then raffle them off like they did. That would be a good thing. And then you could get those and like set up a server, a centralized server for them all to write to. And then do it.
Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do yet. There's a local ITT Tech College here that may be doing it, may film everything as a student project. I think they said if we'd build them a box to an editing machine box, a box to edit video on, they consider doing it as a student project. So
there
that's one option. But if anybody wants to volunteer to shoot video, shoot me an email. We're looking for solutions right now.
And you're not looking for anything spectacular, right? You're looking for someone to set up a camera in the back of the room and let it run
and
for the talk, like while the guy's talking.
Track the speaker. If the speaker moves, follow him. That's all.
Yeah, you don't want TriCaster or any of that stuff.
I can't believe that we can't get that accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a couple video cameras. I'm sure that somebody else has a couple video cameras. But yeah, we ought to be able to get that done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, preferably digital, because if you got to move from analog to digital, it's more time consuming. But
Joel, you got a video camera?
Nope.
I don't have a digital one.
You don't have to have a digital one, because I have a Neuros OSD, which will digitize stuff that it records on the fly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I know Joel.
Yeah, but that takes a long time, though. If it's an hour talk, it's an hour of time.
No, it does it on the fly, dude. You can record straight to digital OSD, from analog to digital.
Well, then why don't you, okay, instead of doing that, why don't you just get a bunch of Flip Minos?
A bunch
of
what?
Those, the Flip Mino cameras? Basically,
yeah, but I'm talking without buying anything. Like, I have an OSD and an analog camera, and I also have a digital camera.
That's two.
And if you have an OSD and an analog camera, there's another one. You know what I mean? And this isn't that difficult.
Except for I'm not going to self.
To get people, well, you need to go. Just, you know, turn around and tell the freaking Hulk that you need to go this year. That's all there is to it.
That would be money? Cool if we had some OSDs to raffle off. That would be cool there.
I would say Joe would probably give you those.
You might if you asked him. Yeah. I gave away two last year while I was there.
Then you could give it a link, too. I got an email, Joe. He's supposed to set me up with the new version of the link with the NVIDIA card in it. But then I would send one I had back to him. But
somebody shoot me his email address, and I'm gonna get in contact with him.
It's like Joe at Neuros Technology, I think.
Yep.
Jay Bourne or something. Let me look.
But you realize you raffled those off last year, right, Dave? Like we did.
Yeah.
At Self, we gave a couple of them away last year, though. And a couple more, I think, at the Ohio Linux Fest, in fact.
That'd be cool if we'd give like five away. Because that's how many we need.
Yeah, but the Neuros won't record to OGG, though. Hope you know.
It records won't to MP4.
Yeah, you can re-encode them. FFmpeg.
Yeah, I mean, the people we had to do it last year, who did a good job, they converted it to OGG for us.
Yeah, and what does that cost you if we have members of the community do it? It costs you nothing.
Exactly.
Grab an old computer at your house and have it, you know, sick it on the task and just let it run for a couple of days.
And see, I think that's something that we'll have no shortage of as volunteers. We had just a slew million of them last year. I mean, I think I got up and left the dinner to go to the volunteer meeting, and I think we had at least 20 people that volunteered to do whatever we needed them to. So I don't think that would be a problem.
I'm thinking it's a no-brainer to get that done. So everybody, give Dave a holler. You can contact him right at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and tell him that you're going to be there with your old beat-up camcorder or your new digital camcorder or whatever the hell, and record a track for him. Even if we can get a whole bunch of people just to record one session.
And we'll need portable hard drives if we go the OSD route, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you'll need USB drives or something like that. Yeah, they're cheap, right?
Yep. The Neuroses are cool.
There's a way to do it, for sure.
Thanks for the email, Joel.
No real happen.
No problem, man.
Yeah.
Hey, and just in case Joe doesn't recognize my name or anything, I may drop your and Link's name when I email him.
That's fine. Yeah, I need to email him myself, find out what's going on with it. They were supposed to be getting ready to relaunch the Link with a brand new graphics card instead of the ATI. It'll have the NVIDIA, and plus they're going to internal hard drive instead of the flash drive. But I haven't heard anything. And plus they're getting ready to ramp up a new version, which is, because let's face it, what they're using now on the Link is a little dated.
They're supposed to do the OSD too, HD version.
Right? So it's a little bit old. What the hell? Huh. That was weird. But yeah, the Link is based on Intrepid right now, so it's just getting a little bit out of date.
I think the OSD HD version that they were doing was going to do 720p, but it was a tiny little thing. It was this little embedded box. I'd be curious to see how far they're coming along.
Yeah, we should get Joe back on the show.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been. I'll have to shoot him an email. See what they've been up to over there.
But, well, they already have specs posted on the Neuros OSD 3. The OSD 2 may only do 720p, but the OSD 3 is supposed to do full 1080.
Gotta do 1080, man.
So. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. That's for sure. But, I mean, that's the one good thing with Neuros is they don't do any of this kind of bullshit like that Google's doing with Android. It's completely open. If you want the source code, you can go right out and get it. And there's no parts of it that I know of, except for on the OSD. The original OSD, there's actually some binary blobs. But I think it's for the some of the stuff in the codec chip, I think. That actually does, you know, the chip that actually does the recording, or the not the codec, the
encoder,
DSP. Yeah, the DSP chip. But that was on the OSD. Now the OSD 2 and the OSD 3, everything from now on is supposed to be completely open, as far as I know. Maybe that's why we need to have Joe back on. Find out where the OSD 2 project is, and see how close OSD 3 is to hardware, and talk about the Link some more. It's a nifty box. I like mine. Use it all the damn time. I've got Miro on it. Link, have you got Miro on yours yet? You should do that if you don't. Yeah, I put Miro on it in a. I put in some RSS feeds from a certain website. I'm not going to talk about it on there, but you can automatically download those. And if those RSS feeds happen to have torrents in them, it'll automatically download the torrent too. So,
last episode, you guys were talking about Boxy.
You'll have to share with me this particular RSS feed you're talking about.
I will.
So you guys were talking about Boxy last week. I actually got around to playing with that for a bit. It's real nice, the new Boxy version.
Isn't that awesome?
It's nice.
New version is sweet.
That is
sweet. Did you put it on your Zotac?
No. I got it on my laptop.
It's even good on a laptop. It's good on a laptop. I like it on a laptop.
Yeah, it detected my MythBox, and like I was able and pulled down all my episodes. I was able to watch everything.
Did it?
The only thing they couldn't do was it couldn't do the commercial skipping, automatic commercial skipping. And I couldn't access any of the menuing into Myth, you know, like scheduling and whatnot. You know, but it's a real
That's
nice
a good question.
It's a nice app if you're just doing if you just want a front end for you know for media. It's real nice.
Mm-hmm. Can you with Myth? Can you just basically type a script and have it actually extract the commercials for you?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to do it. You can have you can have it automatically re-encode the video and to check the commercial skipping, the flags.
Right.
You can do that. Some people also re-encode the videos to like a lower format. You know, like a DivX or an XVid or something. Or H.264, lower quality H.264. Speaking of H.264, man, they just to go off topic for a second, they pushed off that licensing deal by another, I think, about
really?
3 or 4 years. Yeah, they put it off. Hmm. Wait, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, when the new version of the Link software comes out, I think what they might go ahead and do is also install Myth on it and get an HD PVR. Zapbox should be able to do it.
Yeah.
As long as I got the NVIDIA version.
You got to have an NVIDIA card, man. Speaking of NVIDIA cards, someone posted in the forums, Fry's had an online special for an NVIDIA 220 card, which is a fairly new card, and it can do VDPAU. They had a sale for like, with like a $10 rebate, it was like $20 for a video card. I think they sold them out, though.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice buy. Somebody posted that today. Huh. Oh, Dan's awake.
What?
Just woke up.
What do you mean?
Whoa.
I've been doing what Dave Yates suggested to do. I finally got it, but it's... You gotta dig to find it.
It's in Bethlehem, right?
Yep. I posted a link in the, in the chat.
Oh, that saved me some time.
Yeah, when you get there,
yep.
You kind of got to move it around a little bit. You got to turn on the data section. Actually, let me post a better link. There we go. There you go.
That's you should have link. That link.
So you post that one in there, and that should take you right to it.
Oh boy.
Yeah, turn on. Oh, there we go. You can see where the circle is. Little green circle right in the center, you hover over it. Click on it, and it says the bag incident, and it's an attraction. Now we're all happy,
the
okay?
The bag incident.
Life is good.
The bag incident.
Oh, nobody from the stupid street map project is listening to this episode. we just used it for completely the wrong thing.
What do you mean we? What do you mean we? Oh, yeah.
The bag incident. Tourism attraction.
I'm going to post.
You could buzz that one, pal.
I was going to say, let's buzz that. Somebody snapshot the image, too.
I'm just going to say this wasn't like an elementary school playground or something.
The bag incident.
Was that a sheep in the background?
No, it was a beep.
sounded like a sheep.
One of 330's pets.
Where is 330 tonight? Sense.
You do not seem to be connected. Please verify your username and password, then try again.
Is that what happened to Lynn?
With Dot M. Linux Planet. LinuxPlanet.org. It's Kindle Development Kit time. Twitter is dead to me. VLC promotional movie. You sure don't want to miss this. Review.
News by Tuxtroid.
Weather.
What is it doing, reading off your RSS feeds?
Yeah, that one was reading. That one was reading the Linux Planet feed.
It's 10 hours and 22 minutes. Oops, I mean 22 hours and 10 minutes.
There he was telling the time.
What's the Microsoft iPhone killer going to be?
I don't know, and I don't care. You know what it is, Dan? It's irrelevant. Because Microsoft can't do anything that's going to be better than iPhone or... it'll probably be like a distant fifth behind Palm.
So what is that thing going to run? Is it going to run Windows CE or whatever?
Windows 7
CE. It'll run a modified version of Windows Mobile. Something similar to the Zune interface. Actually, there was a little bit of debate about that. On Windows Mobile 7, the next version of Windows Mobile, guess what they're not going to allow that Windows Mobile already does? Multitasking.
Who isn't? Windows Mobile's not?
Yeah. Seriously. They're going to go the iPhone route.
People only want you to do one thing at a time. You know, I did have a question going all the way back to the Google ISP. I did have a question that was on my mind when you guys were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they'll support Linux?
Of course. Why would they not?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. I mean, most ISPs won't support Linux. They'll only tell you they support Windows, maybe Apple.
Yeah. Well, I know their chat windows, like a Roadrunner's chat, the little tech chat thing, will only work on Windows. Now, what I have done in the past, I've taken a Firefox and told Fire, you can switch the user agent, and it works just fine in Firefox and Linux. It's bullshit is what it is. But a lot of people seem to think that limiting your audience is a good thing.
You should buzz that.
Yep.
Buzz it loud and clear.
What are you going to buzz? I know he's going to buzz Lemon Tuna Mouth.
Nah, Lemon Tuna Mouth is down. It's broken for now. I don't know what I did to it, but I got to fix it. Oy.
Lemon Tuna Mouth was your server?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was a virtual host on Apache. And it's still there, but I don't know what I did to break the album.
He got hack boards.
I gotta fix it. On another note, this past week was interesting that both my daughter and my wife managed to fork their systems up. I don't know what the heck my daughter did to her system, but she, it would come up and the only thing it would say is grub loading and that's it. She really did a number on it. So, to try as I might, for some reason I could not get the Ubuntu netbook image booting from uNetBoot again. And I don't know why. I tried creating it like 3 or 4 times. It would never work. It said the image could not be found. So I just threw my hands up in the air and said, screw it. I'm going to try
Linux like you don't know care.
Because I had downloaded Linux Mint and I tried it out. I installed it on there and it was a fairly simple install. It went fairly fast, came up, had everything already installed and ready to go. And it worked right out of the box. Everything was fine. She loves it. She said it's the best Linux she's had on there yet. So she's happy with it.
Linux Mint.
Yeah.
Ubuntu done right.
Thumbs up to Linux Mint. The wife's machine.
I haven't tried 8 yet.
And all she needed me to do was to get in there and run an FSCK on it. So I did that. You know, I don't know what my...
What
my,
the hell's that?
What the hell's what?
I'm sorry. For some reason... no, for some reason on my end, every once in a while, the signal coming back to me will just go to static. It's weird.
Huh.
I don't know what it is, whether it's a router thing or if I need to tweak. I'm using Gizmo now. It do the same thing on Ikaiga. So it's annoying as hell.
You should try Twinkle.
Twinkle, that sounds gay.
That's pretty good.
Twinkle is a great client. I like it. It's the only one that doesn't make
it.
Noise for some reason when I dial in, so.
I'll try it.
You just have to find a public S-ton server, set it up, and you're good to go.
I've got to try it. I look, there's more than a couple SIP clients on the Android marketplace now. And I'm going to have to check that out. So. And Pat's going to have to sell his.
Why are you selling your Android?
I'm not selling it, man, because no one's going to buy it. I can't sell that thing if the USB plug is not working.
Just start saving money for a Nexus.
Yeah, it doesn't mount anymore.
You know what you should do? You should get a hold of Mark from the Lug and have him check it, because maybe it's maybe you got a bad cap or something like that on that USB port.
It's possible. It's not the OS, because I put an official ROM image on there. And I thought maybe there was something flaky with CyanogenMod, you know, one of the newer versions. So I went and I reinstalled the official ROM image, and didn't do a damn thing, man. No, it's not showing up nothing when it's plugged in to any computer.
Yeah, I bet you got a bad cap or a bad diode.
Yeah,
or
it's definitely
like
the plug.
That.
I tried different cables. It's got to be the USB plug. At least it charges. What's that?
Yeah.
You've been using the original. You tried the original cable that worked before, right?
Yeah, I tried all bunch of cables, all different cables,
all right.
All cables I know that work.
And you can't take.
I had the same problem.
I can't hang it, Dan. What?
It's not under warranty or anything.
I bought this thing used.
Oh.
Now see, I had the same problem on mine, but I went back one rev, plus I did some messing around with my SD card. I pulled the SD card and put it in my netbook, and I did some FSCKs on it, and basically backed off all the data and reformatted the SD card, the BAT32 partition on the SD card, and then that seemed to work.
I tried that,
it's been
too.
Been working now.
It did not work. I tried everything.
Yeah.
It's got to be hardware.
It's weird.
So what's that? I mean, you can still use it, though.
Oh, of course, yeah. The only thing I can't do is I can't mount it when I plug it into my computer, and I can't do any tethering with it.
Oh.
I could do wireless tethering.
Anyway.
I could do Bluetooth tethering, but I can't do anything over the USB cable.
I blame Joel.
Nah. Don't blame me. Blame HTC for making clunky hardware on the G1. It just makes me a little bit jealous with all the new stuff comes out that really looks nice, and it's like if they would have just put it off 6 months, it would have been good. Really good. But, oh well. I don't care. I'm not bitter. I like mine.
So, I guess I'm going to wrap it up, Dan?
Yeah. Yep.
That sounds good to me. I got some stuff to play us out, and then...
Remember, when I send you the file tonight, Dan, you got to put that stuff back on there.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm aware of that. I have it all good to go.
So that stuff will sound good.
Yeah, for once.
Yeah. All right. So if that's it, I got a song for us called Time for Rockin' from FB. White off the album White Dog. Jamendo. We'll see how this goes. You guys won't hear it, so. Any last words? Dave Yates, anything you want to say? Is there a new lot of Linux Links coming out soon?
Yes, he talked about
Friday.
That already,
Sweet.
Friday.
Oh.
Friday, we all look forward to return of Dave Yates.
So we're all yawning.
I'm already returned.
Yes, well. Dave
return again.
The return of the Dave Yates. It's chapter 6 in the second half of the trilogy. Return of the Yates.
Go.
And it's full of little short people like Pegwell running around. All right.
Pegwell.
Here's the song. Enjoy it, and I'll get that file from you shortly, Pat.
Yep.
Have a happy.
Take care, buddy.
Nighty night.
And that.
We'll be right back.
Whether you've only heard of Linux or if you're an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2010, Scale has expanded to 5 speaker tracks. The expo now includes a beginner's track for those new to Linux and a developer's track for the coders out there. Scale will have over 50 speakers who will cover the latest topics in open source, and the expo floor will have over 80 booths, with both commercial and nonprofit organizations showing off their products and software. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 19th, 20th, and 21st, 2010, at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. For more information or to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at Scale 8X.
I'm Austin bound, get my feelings checked at the door.
That's right, Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to texaslinuxfest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound, get my eyes set on the price. The time is now.
Psst, psst, oi! Over here! You want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi! Oi, come back! Oh. I'm gonna have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute.
Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OgCamp event, organised by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live, and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Can we talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Deep Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Yeah, we can talk about that for a little bit.
The Facebook for Google?
Yeah, Facebook / Twitter / Identica / whatever, friend feed. You name it, it's there. If I stop talking, the power has gone out, so.
Yeah, same here.
You know, we had a little brownout earlier this, in the evening around 6:30. The light just, like, flickered for, like, a second.
Well, I'm happy to report that I have not had any power loss throughout the storm so far, but that does not, that won't happen.
Yeah, that's got to be the fucking worst, man. Power loss in the middle of a snow blizzard. You know, your house starts getting cold, especially if you got, like, little kids in the house, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what I told my wife, you know, and especially I can't even use a stove to, like, heat the house up because it's electric. So if I lose power, I'm packing up all my shit and I'm going to a motel, so.
Yeah, good luck getting out.
Oh, I'll get out.
They closed the interstate today.
Yeah.
It closed 78, 81.
They closed everything out here, too.
80, I think they closed.
So my wife said, she said, if you're going to go to a motel, where the hell are you going to, you're going to be without power too? And I said, well, you know, they have generators and stuff. They have generators and stuff. What's that?
Go to a motel to do the show?
No, if we lose power.
Oh.
Yeah, my VNC man, when I was at work, like in the morning it was fine, but like in the afternoon it, like, if you do like remote desktop, I was doing some remote desktop and then into my Windows box, and it like just ground to a halt, man. Holy cow! My mainframe session was okay, like, you know, my 3270 sessions, but like, you know, the desktop stuff, man. Holy cow! That it just like died. Everybody was working from home, you know?
Lost all your bandwidth, huh?
Oh, yeah. Plus, you know, people in the neighborhood, too. You know, I'm on a cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get anything done by you?
No.
Yeah, we've been lucky up here. The last two snowstorms that, like, Philly and D.C. got buried, we got, like, 6 inches, you know, no big deal. But this time we got hammered.
You going to play that promo time, Dan?
Which one?
Og Camp.
Yeah. Yep.
Alright.
Were they doing that in Liverpool this year? There's no reason to go to Wolverhampton. No offense to Wolverhampton people.
Good question. I don't know.
I think I'd rather go to Liverpool than Wolverhampton. I've been to Liverpool. Any of you guys been to Britain?
Huh?
Nope.
Never been to Britain, Dan?
No. No, I have not. I would like to go, though.
Been there a couple times. It's fun. Different.
I have only been to Canada, and I've been to Puerto Rico. They're on the corner of 3rd and Northampton and Easton.
I've been to Puerto Rico, the island. My grandparents actually retired. They lived down there for a few years. It's a nice island.
Yeah, I would love to go and visit those tropical places and stuff because they look so picturesque and fun to go to. The problem is, I don't like the heat. Like, I am a fat Irish guy.
Yeah, you'd melt in that sun, man.
I'm not built for heat, you know?
Yeah, the food is good, though.
So, my kind of really awesome vacation ideas include going places like Alaska. You know, to see the mountain ranges in Alaska or Ireland.
Never been to Ireland. Ireland's nice.
Howdy, y'all.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Hey. Y'all not snowed in?
I am.
One of the few people on tonight that's actually older than I am.
Who's that, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am going to be the old guy tonight, aren't I?
Unless Alan comes on.
Alan said he's not coming on. He's shoveling out.
He's got a 6-foot driveway, man.
Yeah.
But when you're 75 years old, that's a lot.
That's true.
You know? Who's paging now?
The internets are down, Link. The internets are down.
No, it's my wife who has sent me a text message from the other room. She wants to know what the hell keeps on dinging in here like a timer going. And I had been in there doing some computer work, and I was hogging up all my monitor real estate. So I turned my Mac Mini on and turned on Thunderbird for that, so that I keep track of my email as I was working. And it dings every time I get an email. So I'm wondering if I should just leave it on or if I should tell her. She'd be annoyed all day long. Ding, 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 ding. I guess I'll go turn it off real quick before the show starts. I'll be right back, guys.
Womp, womp, womp. Womp, womp, womp.
What the hell's that noise?
Why did you do that? Link must have plugged in his laptop. Dude, I don't know.
Lord only knows.
Oh, hi, Joel.
How's it going, man?
Hey, Joel.
Hey, Dave. Get any snow, Dan?
No.
No. Oh, that ain't said Dave. Never mind.
No, Dan. D-A-N-N. Dan. We did. We don't have as much as Link probably does have on the ground. Oh, happy birthday, Link. I gave all that snow just for you, buddy.
I think he stepped away, Joel.
Probably. At least I rescued my G1.
Oh, good for you, man. Sounds like you had more luck than I did.
Yeah. I switched back to the 13 one. And I also reformatted the FAT32 and ran an FSCK on the EXT3. I just used my netbook to do that. Popped everything back in after doing an Android restore, and it worked. So,
yeah, my USB connection's fucked on my phone. It is dead, man, to the world. At least it still charges, though, so it's not completely lost. If it didn't charge, that would be a major problem.
Well, for me, having the USB not work at all, that kind of screws me out of having internet at work, because, well, they don't restrict nothing, but... it's one of those deals where they say, well, you're not supposed to go to these sites during work hours. And I'm like, okay. So I just won't go to any of the sites at all. Hello?
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 Who's that?
The Schmeckle Show.
Hi, Link.
Link.
The show start yet?
No. How you enjoying that birthday snow, man? That's from Aaron and that's from Aaron and myself and Dan. Wow. We had nothing to do with it. We had snow too, so I don't want to hear it.
What?
No, you didn't have snow. I have snow.
Come on. No, we had. I don't know. There's lots out my door. I have over a foot on the ground, too.
I say we're in the 2 to 3
feet. I don't have
4 feet on the ground.
I was going to say, I don't have that.
I went shoveling around 3:30, and it was at least 2 feet then. I mean, it was coming down heavy during the afternoon.
Jeez.
So there's probably at least another 6 inches since then.
I want a snowblower next year, man.
I got a small one that my parents gave me. You know, it's gas-powered, but it's not self-propelled. But even that, man, that saved a lot of work, man.
Yeah. So you had to shove it and push it.
Yep, pretty much. My arms hurt from pushing it.
Yeah, that sucks. But Link doesn't have to shovel snow. He lives in an apartment.
Still got to clean off your car and stuff and shovel around your car, man.
That's true.
Doesn't sound like much, but when you start thinking that there's 4 feet of snow on your car.
Yeah. Good point. Well, at least I finally heard the hum on with my soundboard and my other mics that I used to use. With my other laptop. Now I just gotta figure out how to get rid of it.
Check your power?
I might try a different outlet for everything. I know everything really needs to be on the same outlet. Another thing I might do, I think on the back of my board there is a ground screw. I mean, it even says that, if I remember right. So what I might do is I might get some wire and take that over to the terminals, the screw on the outlet. That might help. I don't know. I'm going to experiment with it. I know that when I did a recording, I was able to remove the hum. So if you listen to my last Life in Ohio with Luke... Two microphones
and
makes that one easier.
And a turntable.
Two McLaughlins and a microphone.
Yep. Hey, Luke had fun. He loves it. Especially since he can hold his own microphone. He's just thrilled by that. Although he wants to eat the mic, though, so I have to tell him, well, you don't need to put that close to your mouth, man. It sound like... So we ready?
Talk to Dan.
Dan?
Is it that time already?
Oh! Past that time.
It's been that time and gone.
I thought Dan might have been muted.
He's talking for like 20 minutes. No one notices.
Hey, we got stuff to talk about today, so that's good. Google Buzz. Yes, he is.
Is Dave,
Dave
there?
Speak up.
What? Hello?
He was muted.
What was me?
All right, hold on.
He's just making sure you're there.
I'm here.
At least on the microphone, if not physically.
Or just on microphone.
Or mentally, I should say.
Subversive groups must not register in South Carolina or face a $25,000 fine and up to 10 years in prison. The Subversive Activities Registration Act, passed last year in South Carolina and now officially on the books.
Isn't that stupid?
What is it?
So someone's planning to blow up like the state house, they have to like register first.
Oh, that's fun.
Dumbest thing ever.
It sounds like something they would come up with at work. You know, they need to know ahead of time before we have an unplanned outage.
Exactly. So they could plan for it.
Yeah.
All right, let me whack this off here.
I hope not, man. Might make your microphone sticky, among other things.
What do you want to start with? Scale. Og camp. Oh, all these
G is for gingerbread.
Alright, you ready? Let me see if it's actually like. The volume's all good and shit. You know. Maybe I should have looked at that beforehand.
Yeah.
I like that when you do that, Dave.
I should unmute the speaker. I should unmute the speaker. Alright, speakers are unmuted.
Unmuted?
Do it.
Unmuted, so here we go. 5, 5, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.